This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
Yes, and good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I am Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And that's Dennis Halnan. He's one of the employee owners at Tab Computers. He comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. We have two lines open. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. And just to kind of add a little bit to the last caller before the news break, something we've talked about in the past with Microsoft and finishing. In the words of Ed, Cousin Ed, Microsoft is kind of like a Mississippi leg hound. You just best let him finish when he lays into you. That's just think of Microsoft when you think of that. So that poor caller is going to have to let it finish updating to Windows 11, and then he's going to roll it all back to 10.
Right, and then he's going to have to block Windows 11 again.
Crazy.
Yep.
All right, let's go to your calls. We're going to go to Wallingford and Bill next. What's happening, Bill?
Good morning.
Morning.
I've been a long, long time listener, like Dennis from Simsbury earlier.
Nice.
And first-time caller, though, and I have a very simple question, and it really is.
Okay. All right, good. That's what they all say.
Yeah, well, you've answered this question before, but I'm looking for your latest information.
I have
a neighbor who has a 10-year-old computer and is looking to me, because I'm the geek in the neighborhood, looking to me to help buy a new one.
Okay.
I'm looking for what your recommendations are for CPU, hard drive, and RAM, your current recommendations.
Okay. So for basic general use, it'd be an 11th gen i5 processor, Intel processor, at whatever speed gigahertz you can get, the faster the better, because there's choices there. 16 gigs of RAM minimum, and at least a 500 gig solid state hard drive, whether it's M.2 or SATA, whatever you get. Those are the basic specs. Now, video, you know, most of the motherboards these days is going to have plenty of general video processing power.
Yeah, a lot of the integrated video is actually very, very good now.
Yeah. And trying to get a separate card these days, thanks to the ding-dong Bitcoin miners, is harder. So if they're not doing high-end graphics, that's the box. And then for additional storage, if you think that she needs it, you can always buy a 1 terabyte solid state or a secondary, more spinny drive, as we call them, the old style drive. That can be as a scratch disk, you know, something that you would put your data on if she's got something that she needs to move data around with.
Okay. This is primarily for surfing the internet. I know she does work with pictures, but not, you know, like to put in a museum or anything like that. I think what you've given me will fit her needs. I'm going to see what she's got for a hard drive right now and how much space she has, and I'll recommend one way or the other as far as solid state, how big it should be.
She'll spend about $1,000 or so, and again, her last machine lasted her a decade.
Yeah.
Right.
So if she spends too little, right, because you can find the spec I just gave you for $400. Mm-hmm. Why is it $400? Well, it's probably a second-generation processor i5, right? They play around. Heck, we're still seeing Pentiums out there, for crying out loud. I don't even know why.
Yeah. Oh, it's horrible.
So be careful. Get a good current-generation CPU. 11th gen would be the one that I would tell you to consider, because it's reasonable. They do have even further generations that are coming out, but you should be fine there.
Okay.
All right.
I think that answers my question. I thank you very much. I'm going to continue listening.
All right, Bill.
And thanks again.
Our pleasure.
Yep.
All right, bye-bye. All right. Let's continue on to Nathan in New Hartford. What's happening, Nate? You there, Nate? Uh-oh. Nathan, you there? Oh, we lost him. Let's move on to Al in Basra next. What's happening, Al?
Hey, I have a kind of a strange problem, and I usually consider myself pretty handy with solving this, but during the COVID, we had to change wireless routers with Charter or Spectrum or whatever they are these days.
Yep.
To handle the increased amount of activity. And ever since that router was put in, and we've now swung back to the original one, we've lost the wireless capability of printing to a printer. You have to go direct connect to it, because it shows up, that HP printer, it's a, I think a 1217. I'm driving, so I apologize. I don't have it in front of me.
That's all right.
And, you know, it just can't. HP wasn't able to help. Charter says it's not their problem. You know.
Okay.
And I'm trying to figure out, what the heck do I do?
Okay. So this is a common issue. It's a DHCP IP addressing issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of easy to fix. You just got to understand DHCP a little bit. Basically, every device in your home is going to get an IP address, whether it be your phone, your smart switches, whatever it is, it's on your network. It's getting the IP address from the router, and your printer is too. And if you haven't set that printer to be a statically assigned IP address, it's going to get a different address all the time. And your computers are going to say, wait a minute, I saw the printer over at 192.168.1.4 yesterday, but I don't see it there anymore. And it's because the printer got a new IP address from the DHCP server, putting it at 192.168.1.38. So you got to set the IP address on the printer first to be a static number you pick. Generally, it's let's just say you're going to pick 10. And then you're going to go to your DHCP server in the router. This is where you may or may not have control over this with Charter. If it's not your router, you have to set a reservation. God. It's not your router?
No.
Okay, so
it's theirs. Yeah.
So just because you tell the printer you want it to be at 10 doesn't mean the server is going to give it that.
Right.
So you got to reserve the DHCP address. So you got to say to the router normally, hey, don't give any IP addresses out under 10, right? Because if that way everything will be given out beyond 10, and that means your printer can exist. If the DHCP server gives out 192.168.10 address to your wife's phone, well, the printer's going to say, there's an IP conflict here, and nobody's going to get on.
Right.
So what you need to consider is buying your own router and just getting a modem from Spectrum. And then you have this control. Then you can configure things like OpenDNS and all sorts of great stuff.
I see. Is there a way for me to establish in the printer a IP address?
Yes.
There is.
Okay. You can tell the printer what you want it to be.
Right.
But the DHCP server.
The problem is whatever else is on the network and what numbers are being given out by your DHCP server.
Just telling it is half the battle. But if the DHCP server is handing out the same address to something else because you haven't set a reservation, then it'll have this issue. And you're constantly going to be trying to find where your printer is. Like, it's like, where's Waldo on your network? It's, where's your printer? Because it's banging around getting a different IP address every time.
Okay. And you know what's funny? The Charter techs that have come over, because we've asked them to, they all said it's not our problem. Like,
I know.
They had no idea.
Trust us.
You seem to pick up on it right away. And it kind of makes sense to me. I used to, when I was working many, many years ago, yeah, I was a lot more familiar with those IP addresses, the octet, And it's crazy that they didn't know that, and what has nothing to do with it.
Correct. The problem we're having, even in finding good technicians, is we ask them some basic questions like this, and you would not believe what they don't know. Guys that have been working for, you know, a big insurance company's help desk for 7 years, all they've been doing is resetting passwords. And that doesn't get you much experience into networking and all sorts of things that they need to see. And these big companies, they talk about education like they care, but they're not getting their people exposed to the areas of technology that everyone needs them to be exposed to. Big companies, small companies, nobody is. So, and then you look at Charter, the guy's like, well, the cable works. He doesn't know how the network works.
He
puts some device on and says, oh, you're communicating.
Right.
I mean, it's traffic is good.
Right.
And you say, oh, okay, you know, but it failed after you replaced that wireless router.
Right.
And they shrug and that's it.
Right. They don't think about the next steps. What were you going to say, Dennis?
Well, I was going to say what you may be able to do is to call Charter or Spectrum.
Wherever they are.
I have them, and I keep calling them by the wrong name all the time. Yeah. Sorry. Anyway, you may be able to call them, and someone on, you know, that you call in their call center may be able to go in and configure a DHCP reservation for you. I don't know.
If you ask for it.
I've never had to do it.
Right.
But they may be able to remotely go in and put that in for you.
Right.
And that might be something you can do. And the Charter tech who's on site may not actually have the tools to do that for you because he doesn't have access to that router.
Router, maybe. Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm just trying to come up with something that might help you.
Networking is hard, Al.
Yeah.
You have been very helpful. All he's told us is that you have 20-some-odd devices using this wireless router in the house, which I believe.
Yeah.
The daughters and, you know, everybody's doing something.
So what?
But that he had no idea.
Right.
None whatsoever.
He was trying to angle down bandwidth by saying you have 20 devices. Who cares? That's how the cable companies sell you more stuff that you don't need. You know what, Al? It could be that 21st device, that printer, really means you need to upgrade from our 100 megabit service to our gigabit service. Because when you did that, that should solve it. It doesn't, by the way. This issue is not a bandwidth issue.
No.
This is a IP addressing issue.
Right. And it didn't correct itself when they went back to the original style router, the smaller pipe.
Right. The router, that router is, again, was you got lucky. And the IP address was known by your computers and the printer, and the DHCP server didn't hand something out that conflicted. So you were good. You got lucky. But the moment that the new addresses were handed out, that you lost your network to that company.
I want to thank you guys. I do listen whenever I have the opportunity on Saturday mornings and I'm driving somewhere. And it's a great show. And
thanks.
I've always enjoyed it. You run it well.
Well, we do our best. We appreciate it.
Thank you again.
Yeah, you got it, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So I'll tell you a quick other story before we have to go to break. Tom's probably chomping the bit. I was at a prospect on Thursday, I think it was, large veterinarian company. And, you know, they're looking to make a change in their IT. And half their machines aren't getting IP addresses. And their current IT provider doesn't understand this either. So, and they've been using this current IT provider for like half a decade. And I was plugging in on one of our phones because I do a demo for the phone system, and it's not getting IP address either. I'm like, this is a DHCP issue. Just call them up and tell them you're having a DHCP issue. They had guys out there banging around their network, literally pulled access points off the ceiling. I'm like, it's not the problem. It's a DHCP issue. That's the basics. Not that I'm some sort of genius for crying out loud, but it's just, this is basics, man. We're going to step out for a quick break, get back to more of your calls. Nate's back. Frank, this is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk. We're going to get right to your calls. You're nice enough to join us on this rainy Saturday morning. We're going to go to Nate first out there and see what we can do for Nate. You back, Nate? We lost you earlier.
Hello.
Hey there. What can we do for you, sir?
So my Google Chrome isn't, like, it'll say it's upgrading, but then it's really not.
All right. I need a little more information on that. So you're getting a note that it's upgrading, but...
Well, like, not a note, but it'll... So certain websites, I have an Acer Chromebook, and I'll go on here, and it'll be like, this website is updating. And then I will go... It'll say, like, this Google Chrome needs to update. And I will go to my Google Chrome, and it'll say, your version's up to date. And so I'll, like, restart the thing, and long behold, I'm still, it's still not updating. So it's restricting my websites, and it's really starting to get on my nerves.
You sound like us every day.
What I think is going on is you've got two different things that have similar names. Your operating system is Chromium, and your browser is Chrome. Now, when you're being told that that Chrome is up to date, it may be that Chrome app is up to date, but the Chromebook operating system still needs to be updated. I'm kind of guessing that that's what the situation is here.
Yeah.
And okay. I'm on the Acer website, and it looks like they have a page about how to force. Actually, Google does. On how to force the operating system to update. And you might have to take those steps to make that finish.
Okay.
It should work. If that's not the issue, then it could be the site you're going to is maybe got its own issues that you can't fix. Because if your Chromebook is up to date and the Chrome browser is up to date, it's not you. You know,
yeah,
it's them.
The computer is also... they don't even make this model anymore, so it's older, so I'm not sure.
You know what? I wonder if what's going on here is
Google watched Apple.
Something knows that your Chromebook needs to be updated, but your Chromebook itself is too old to load the next Chromebook operating system update.
All right. So, is this a school laptop or is this yours, Nate?
My personal laptop, it works well, everything else, except just certain sites I'll click on, and it'll be like,
okay,
you can't view the site.
So then you can always try a different browser, right? So you can try the Brave browser.
Brave,
yep, it's got a lion face. Very, very fast. You could try Firefox. It's basically a little, instead of the beach ball, which is what you're using, you can use the fox that's kind of wrapped around the planet. You can use Brave, which is a lion face. So I'll put a link up there for you.
I have tried Firefox, actually, and it doesn't download. It's saying, like, the page, I'm pretty sure, if I'm not mistaken, the page that you need to get to, like, download Firefox, it says, your browser's too outdated to view this page, so I can't even
catch 22.
Yeah,
catch 22 here.
That's what I think you caught in here.
Well, can you go to the Play Store? You should be able to go to the Google Play Store,
right,
and get it that way.
I think it's.
You can't.
I had a different Chromebook, and I could go on the Play Store, and then I'm using this one, and this is now I don't have the other Chromebook, but this Chromebook. Is the it doesn't even have Play Store. I look and I'll go to the Play Store website and it'll be like, are you trying to download apps for this device? Because Google Play isn't compatible.
Wow, so they really have bricked your system.
That's too bad. Holy mackerel.
It's very much the way Apple works, right? When your Apple devices get too old, they kind of force this obsolescence. So I don't know, yeah, they don't let you update it because they say it's not compatible, which is all baloney, I think. But it is the case here, yet you're stuck with this problem. So, you have two choices. Get a new Chromebook and stick with the evil folks that did this to you. Or go to Microsoft, the new evil folks that'll do other things to you. There's really no difference between the evil. But in this case, I think that Chromebook is done. because it's not allowing you the update. So I'm sorry, Nate. I have no way to work around that.
So Chrome OS Flex is where, you know, you can download the operating system onto your hard drive and plug it into any old Microsoft or computer like that.
There you go.
So could you do like a Chrome, like a, does Microsoft have their own version of like a Chrome OS Flex type thing, or is that?
No, but your idea is a good one. Can we put you on hold? We have a break. Can we put you on hold, Nate?
Yeah.
All right, put you on hold. We're going to see. Try to go down that path. We'll be right back. Okay, we are back, and we are really excited to have a Ute on the line. Nate. Hey, Nate. You there still?
Hello.
Hey, you're kicking butt because we did some research, and your idea is awesome.
Yes.
Do you need a job? We're hiring. So basically, your idea, much to Google's chagrin, might work. You can use the OS Flex OS, and we put a link up there from some articles talking to you about how to do that. So you're going to basically circumvent what they're doing with their onboard OS and then use the OS Flex OS to actually make it work. And I love your idea. It's a brand new technology. Both of us didn't even hear of.
It just came out like a month ago, too, so we didn't even know.
So
I had seen in, like, I was just searching up, like, the newest version and of Chrome OS, and it had came up as Chrome OS Flex, and I was like, so I would have to take a different computer, download Flex, and then the USB drive into my Chromebook, and that would be...
And tell the Chromebook to boot off the USB drive, if that's possible. I think it is.
I would think so.
Yeah, you've got something, kid.
Yeah,
bright future. We're excited for you. Give it a shot. Let us know how it worked out, okay?
All right. Thank you so much. Have a great morning, Connecticut.
All right. Thanks, Nate. All right. The Utes have some future. I love it.
That's great.
That is great. So we put a link up there. Nate's going to go ahead and use Google's own tool against them to bring back a bricked end-of-life
computer. That's how you stick it to the man, right?
Man. You go, Nate. You go. Let's go on to Frank and Cromwell next. What's happening, Frank?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm looking to buy a new LG Gram Windows 11 laptop, and I've read articles about things you should do before you start the computer up to maintain the current status of the machine and for use later on down the road. And I was wondering if you recommend any of these types of activities.
I'm sure what you mean exactly.
I'm not sure what steps are being suggested to you.
Yeah. I mean, praying usually is what I start with. I say a little prayer.
I read an article about using a software package that will, take a snapshot of the computer the way it sits originally, and then use it later on down the road if things get really slow.
A recovery.
Okay. You can buy software that will do that for you, or even get it third party for free, but any computer you get is going to come built in with a recovery assistant of some kind, depending on the brand. It can go by different names, but it'll have a utility that will let you create exactly what you're looking for, something that will get you back to the factory state.
Mm-hmm. And don't need to buy anything.
Right. You don't need to buy any software or even download it. It should come with it built in. The only thing you're going to need is a USB stick that's large enough to hold that data. And the wizard that runs will typically tell you how big it needs to be.
Okay. Other than the normal instructions, is there anything else you'd recommend doing the first time you fire one up?
Well, yes. We're going to want you to configure OpenDNS to make sure you're surfing safely.
Okay. I've done that on my old one. Yep.
All right. And then we used to recommend Webroot as an AV. You can purchase it if you'd like. But the Windows Defender has done pretty well.
Yeah.
So it's...
Okay, that's what I've used in my old one. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Great. All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Frank.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Moving on, we're going to go on to Antoinette in Fairfield. What's happening, Antoinette?
Yes, it's me again. I have a question.
Sure.
My emails, I have a couple of emails I use for different purposes, but I think... was about a week and a half ago, Microsoft did an update or Dell did an update on the computer, but it seems like the emails keep signing out when I have not signed out to them.
Right. You were talking, I recall, that you were using browser-based email, right?
Yes, Google.
Yep. Gmail. And they're signing you out. It's probably a security feature, Antoinette.
I looked at that.
You did?
Yes, my son directed me right away to go to security, and I'm not seeing anything where I'm having the emails to automatically sign out.
What service is signing you out? Is it Yahoo? Is it Hotmail? Is it...
No, Gmail. Gmail.
Gmail is signing you out.
Gmail, yes. Gmail is signing me out.
Dennis is looking that up.
Well, I'm trying to find out some information about it, but I did come across an article on Google's own tech support that talks about how to stay signed in. And it has a couple of different suggestions. It also talks about how to stay signed out if you wanted to be sure that you were always logged out unless you're actively working on it. But it's in the same article. It's got a couple of suggestions of what you can do about that.
So we'll give you those, but our advice would be not to stay signed in.
Right.
Security reasons.
Yeah, it's security. It's actually trying to help you. Yeah, it's kind of inconvenient. Okay. You got to keep going to the login screen and put in the password. But this is to your benefit. It really is.
And turn on two-factor authentication. Have you done that? Did your son help you with that?
I have that for two of the emails. The others, I wasn't concerned about, that because I don't get the sensitive information sent there.
Okay.
Newsletters and things I'm signing out and are checking up on, but two of them I definitely have the two-factor.
Good.
Identification for security, banking, certain things.
Yeah, we'll send that.
So you say it's actually a safety factor.
It really is. Leaving things signed in all the time is a bad idea. It's a big security no-no.
Okay, because the reason why I ask is Google and the Yahoo, like YouTube, when I go for certain YouTubes and I have things subscribed to, I have to keep signing back in if I'm watching something or whatnot in the middle. And that's why I was a little concerned. Okay, so it is a safety factor.
Yeah, it is. But we'll give you some tools so you can do that. Just be aware of it. Keep it in mind that it's a safety thing.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, Antoinette, our pleasure. Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
All right. So, yeah, don't leave yourself logged in. It's not a good idea. Wanted to bring up some stuff while we wait for your calls. We've got four lines wide open, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC, AMD. They've confirmed there's a performance problem with some of its Zen family processors and Microsoft's operating systems. Reports of stuttering performance under Windows 10 and 11 on some Ryzen systems have been rumbling for a while now, and it appears the problem is lurking within the firmware of the TPM module, which is added to security, of course.
It's the TPM.
Mm-hmm. On the Ryzen.
On the Ryzen processor.
Yeah. TPM was infamously made a requirement for Windows 11, although Windows 10 and recent editions of Server. So AMD's got issues. They're trying to fix this. They think they can fix their performance issue. Good luck when it's on the chip. I don't know.
Yeah, I was going to say, all they can do is implement a software workaround or firmware workaround.
It's a firmware update. According to AMD, it's a firmware update. The processor designer has handled the scheduling of this. So we'll see how this works. The updates could start showing up in May of 2022. So until then, you're going to deal with stuttering and freezing. Now, I'm not saying this because it would give AMD a hard time. We have the same problems with Intel sometimes, right? But
true.
This is just a typical AMD scenario here. So we'll put a link up here for you on this story so you can read it for yourself if you're having issues with your AMD-based system. Did you want to bring up anything, Dennis, while we wait for calls?
Folks out there may have been aware that NVIDIA was hacked a couple weeks ago. And they actually struck back at the hackers, apparently, although the details of that are not too clear. And the hackers responded by demanding that they change settings on their chips to make Bitcoin mining easier. So there's kind of a battle going on here. Now, one of the things that's going to end up causing a lot of havoc is the fact that the certificates that are used to sign the NVIDIA drivers, that certificate has now been compromised, and other hackers can incorporate that certificate into their own software, and it will be detected by Windows as a valid certificate for a driver installation.
Ugh.
And driver installations, as you know, are very deep in the operating system.
Mm-hmm.
So they can basically take over the whole machine.
So these are authorized drivers by the bad guys.
Right. And they're authorized because they stole the certificates. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, Microsoft is going to put out an update that will revoke that.
Nice.
But we live in a world where not everybody's computer is completely up to date. And why is that? Because Microsoft's updating processes are not all that good, and people don't always want to install them.
Right.
So you've got a massive, massive vulnerability out there that's going to hit trillions of Windows computers around the world.
But leverage because of cryptocurrency mining.
Right.
Thank you, guys. Stop allowing cryptocurrency to be a thing, and this wouldn't be a thing. There'll be other things, don't get me wrong, but we'll have one less thing. Just all I'm asking is for one less thing. I was reading about Krebs. Brian Krebs had a great story about the Conti and Reval bad guys over there in Russia. And there's a Ukrainian that was part of the gang that released all sorts of great information about how these guys operate. And it's really a great read. If you go to Brian Krebs, Krebs on Security, you can read. It's a three-part series of Brian breaking it down and having you understand how it works. But one of the things that struck me was that the bad guys, these ransomware guys, were using a freely available tool, some sort of financial tool. I don't know off the top of my head. I apologize. This is just top of mind I wanted to bring up to you guys. But they were using this tool to go ahead and see if their targets were fully insured. You know, how much insurance coverage did they have? So that, of course, if it was a nice, juicy $2 million cyber insurance policy, guess what? They're going to target you.
Right, and they're gonna ask for something just under $2 million.
Right.
Because they know they can get that much.
And this is some sort of financial software that's out there. Everybody can use it, and the bad guys were using it against you because you bought cyber insurance. And then the cyber insurance guys are whining that they're paying too much in insurance. Well, stop telling everybody how much they've got. I mean, what are you doing? You know? I mean, it's a really interesting series, and I'll put a link up there for you. But basically, an inside guy in the Conti Reval gang was a Ukrainian.
Well, he's a Ukrainian, and he turned on his friends from Russia.
The Russians.
That was beautiful.
Ah, I love it. No honor among thieves. It's good. So we'll keep that in mind. So as we wait, there we go. We've got a caller coming in here. Steve in Windsor has got a comment to make. What's happening, Steve?
Good morning, Eric. Good morning, Dennis.
Hi.
I was calling about the internet neutrality. Is there really such a thing, or is that just a loose term? Because don't we have this one area in Connecticut, in Glastonbury, which has supposedly the fastest in the country? And I thought neutrality was supposed to be equal all throughout. It's such a strange thing to me. And still, yeah. I have another question that I want to ask after you answer that.
Okay, so net neutrality is basically a baloney construct that I've talked about for probably half a decade. What they're trying to do with net neutrality is they want to treat all packets on the network equally. Okay? Think of that in the terms of cars and trucks, right? All the packets on the highway are supposed to go no more than 65 miles an hour, right? If we had the police out there more often, they'd get the guys that are doing the 80 miles an hour.
Yeah.
But that's a whole other issue. They're trying to treat those packets equally. However, voice packets and other types of packets need to be prioritized. That's called quality of service, or QoS. So you need to create separate lanes to allow for those packets to go faster than regular packets, because if they didn't, you would have poor service. So net neutrality was out there saying, well, if we don't have net neutrality, all the ISPs out there, all the internet providers are going to pick and choose those companies they want to allow to transmit data on their network and or charge them more if they if they use more bandwidth, which I would contend that we do every day. If you look at tolls on the highway, you charge people to go through a certain internet connection, or in this case, a highway, you charge them more. Net neutrality was going to say you can't do that. Well, if you get a Mack truck worth of data going down your pipe, you got to charge them a little more to do that than something else. So net neutrality was trying to solve a problem that didn't exist and has not been in the case. So FCC chairman under Trump ended the whole thinking of net neutrality, and guess what? The internet didn't blow up. Yet we have more censorship happening now, which net neutrality was trying to prevent, than we've ever had.
And even as a sign that it's pretty much over, I mean, even after Biden got into office and put his people into the FCC, you haven't heard anything about it.
No.
In my opinion, it's a dead issue.
Right.
And as Eric said, it's kind of a thing that answers a problem that's not even there.
Right. It goes back to the article I had up earlier about lawmakers not understanding technology. So it's not about how fast you are. It's about treating the packets on the network equally. It sounds really nice and fluffy. Of course, all packets should be treated equally. But no, that's not how the network works. So what was your second question?
Oh, wait. Just one little addition thing.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have anything to do with the content either, right?
Well, that was what they were trying to say. Their net neutrality folks were going to say, well, if we don't have net neutrality, you know, let's say Comcast is some left-wing company, and they're going to say no right-wing packets can pass without some sort of fee. And then you've got Cox is a left-wing company and says no right, you know, back and forth. That's what they were trying to prevent against. It turns out the internet companies just want to sell you more bandwidth than you need. They don't care about throttling your packets. They really don't. They only care about what you're doing, that they can market that information to somebody else. So throttling was never something that the internet companies had in mind. Only the legislators had some boondoggle straw man argument for net neutrality. It just sounded fuzzy and warm.
Oh, my gosh. That is so interesting. Mm. That is.
Yeah.
So my other question was, and so I was without, Dennis probably doesn't know this, but I was without hearing for about 5 years, and I hadn't had the internet or cable or television or anything, and I just had my radio for about, you know, 10 or 12 years, and then I just got television and the internet and cable, and I was listening on the internet to a song, and it was really cool because after you get your hearing back, you start to hear songs that you had heard 40, 50 years ago. I'm 56, and so I heard On the Run by Pink Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
And I had never really understood the lyrics at the Heathrow Airport in London, what was going on. And I'm listening, and I'm listening, and I'm going, oh, my gosh, for the first time I'm hearing this?
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, a commercial interrupted the song. And I said, what is going on here? Is this real?
Yeah, welcome to the internet.
They interrupted a 2-minute song just for a commercial.
That's awful. I'm sorry that's happened, but welcome to the internet, my friend.
I was so disappointed, but I was really surprised.
Yeah. Huh. Bad service, bad streaming service. I'm not sure what you were listening to, but it could have been, if it was YouTube, that could probably happen.
It could. Yeah.
I don't mind commercials. In fact, I really enjoy commercials, but it was just the fact that it happened at that time. It was just new to me.
You know, it's cool you got your hearing back, Steve.
Oh, I can't tell you how much I'm enjoying it. Mm-hmm. Music is a whole new deal. Especially, like I said, I never could hear what they were saying in that one tune in On the Run.
Gotcha.
It was just a muffled sort of sound.
Gotcha. Now you can hear it cleanly. Good.
It's so cool. And I always enjoy hearing you.
Well, thanks, Steve. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. I'll talk to you sometime soon.
All right. Very good. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
But yeah, net neutrality has been a topic of this show for a long time.
It's just something that doesn't really exist.
No. They need to spend time on other things like poll neutrality, right? Equal access to our polls. That's really what needs to happen.
Yes.
It's a 40-foot piece of wood. And I don't want it to look like Mumbai wiring out there where it's a crazy, but we can at least go ahead and put lots of fiber everywhere. Come on, guys. The year 2022, for crying out loud, or big wireless signals, whatever we got to do. But poll neutrality is what we need. Equal access to our polls. Let's go to Jason in East Heartland. Hey, Jason.
Good morning.
Morning.
I had a question. I'm in the market for a new laptop computer. I need it to run CAD program.
Oh.
My existing laptop won't run, extremely slow. so I need to upgrade. And just wonder what you recommend.
Eric can answer that, but I'm going to give you a marketing label that you might want to look for.
Okay.
Portable workstation.
Mm-hmm.
That's a marketing label that's often assigned to higher-end laptops and larger laptops that have dedicated video and other features that you might look for.
Yeah,
but go ahead.
Yeah, look up the HP ZBooks. Those are the workstation-level laptops that we provide to anybody who's trying to do CAD on a laptop. It's going to have a nice NVIDIA graphics card. And then, of course, first look at your software. If you're using SolidWorks, if you're using MasterCam or whatever you're using, make sure you know the spec. So it's going to require probably an i7 or i9 processor. It's going to require 16 to 32 gigs of RAM. It's going to require solid-state hard drives. But the video card needs to be able to process whatever video you're processing, so you don't have your 3D modeling take forever to render.
Yeah, I know that SolidWorks has a website that will tell you what processors are compatible with it and which specific drivers will work with it.
Right.
I'm not quite familiar with things like AutoCAD, but I suspect
Same
that
idea.
They all have something like that.
Yeah.
And GPU, yeah, I would check that out.
That's what I'm running is TurboCAD. Is the program that we run.
Okay.
All right.
So look at the specs on the TurboCAD, and that's all you need there.
Yeah.
Okay, and then look at portable, the ZBook is what you recommend.
Yeah, look at the HP ZBooks. Our clients have had good luck.
Those are really nice machines.
All right, Jason, okay. Good to go.
It was confusing. I've been on the HP site, and they have stuff for anywhere from $600 to $3,000. So
think $3,000.
You're going to be closer to that $3,000 than you want, but it's gonna serve you well if you do.
All right, we got to go, Jason.
All right, thank you.
You got it. Bye-bye.
Okay,
we'll be right back. All right, so guys, we've had a lovely show there this morning with you guys. Ran out of time. I want to thank all you guys for joining us. I want to thank Joey and Tom for producing. Tom's still working on learning the show here. I might thank Mike for posting everything over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. It's the name of the show.com. And I want to thank you, Dennis.
Remember, we want you to become geeks, too.
See you next week.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand-new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework. Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.